And he started saying, all of you preachers are just alike. And he says, I've killed other ones just like you. Because he'd been sent. He'd been sent by the Catholic Church. And they began to pray, and I stood there trying to deal with him. And I kept telling him that Jesus loved him. I mean, what else do you tell a man that's holding the gun? I told him that Jesus loved him, and it didn't have to happen like he thought it was going to happen. And you know, brother, as we prayed, as they were sitting there, they was praying, and I was talking to him, he began to cry. And the gun comes down to his side, and he says, I can't do it. I can't do it. I know why. I know why. He's still on the throne. That's why. He's still on the throne. Let me tell you, church, I believe us in the day and hour in which we live, we need to be a hold of God. We need to be hold of God. You never know when you might not have the opportunity to run down to the altar and pray about it. But if you're a hold of God, you're really in touch with God like you ought to be, then God is there for you. If you're really living where you ought to be living, then He is right there to reach out and move in your life. He's right there to reach out and touch you in your life. But if you're not there where you ought to be, I believe God's hand has moved away. The hedge is shorter. The hedge is shorter. And you really can't feel what you need to feel at that time. We've continued to try to witness to this man, and finally he left. He told me, if you ever tell I was here, he said, I'll be back for you. But you know, I was thinking about, you know, I've seen some people that was there later had came in and said they had seen me standing there, and the man with a gun in his hand. And he said to me, he said, well, you're crazy. You shouldn't have kept standing there. You should have left. But let me tell you, you can't run. But let me tell you, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Can I speak to you just for a few minutes? You have your Bible? Let's read a verse here. Praise the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 24 and verses 18 through 21. It's a message that's been on my heart. I've thought about it so. And I tell you, I really wasn't planning on preaching tonight, but praise the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verses 18 through 21. And it says, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers, and they served groves and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandment of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, He hath also forsaken you. And it says, and they conspired against him, and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. Can you imagine? Can you imagine killing someone in that way because he told the truth? Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 10. And I'll give you a little thought that's on my heart. Jeremiah 6 and 10. And it says, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach, and they have no delight in it. For just a moment, if you'd listen to me, I'd like to talk to you about, can you be touched? It was that the word of the Lord had come unto these people here in Chronicles, and He wanted to touch them. A lot of people say, well, how was the Lord wanting to touch them? He wanted to touch him through His man. Amen? The way of the Lord that He had to speak to the people was speaking to His people through His man. through his prophet or through his man that he had over the tabernacle or the temple of the Lord. He was a man of God bringing forth the word of God to the people. You know, God's always wanted to have a fellowship with his people. God's always wanted to have a communion with his people. He's always wanted to be close by their side. But the people themselves drive themselves away from God because there becomes so much sin between them and God. There's so many things that come between them and God that the people of God cannot be touched by God. And I've had this thought in my heart. I think, Lord, why is it seems as though that people are not stirred by the things of God anymore? Why is it, oh God, it seems that a lot of people's hearts cannot be touched by God? This word is powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, it says. This powerful word is still as powerful as it was in the days of Paul. This word is just as powerful as it was in the days of Stephen. Yet it seems in a lot of hearts, it don't seem to be able to touch them. It don't seem to be able to move them. And I say, Lord, what is it that in people's hearts, the word of God is not able to touch people? Why is it? They won't allow themselves to be touched by it. The prophet of Jehoiada came before the people and he said, thus saith God. And they looked at him, no doubt, like, who are you to think that you're giving us a word of God from God? You ain't no God. But he was the man of God, giving the word of God for the people. He had an answer for them. They was transgressing. They was doing the things that was against God. They was going down and offering sacrifice to the idol. They was going out and doing things that they should not do. And so God wanted to bring them under a reminder in their heart that they was doing wrong. And he sent the prophet of God to say, thus saith God, and it disturbed them so. We don't like what they're preaching. We don't like what he's saying. And so what they do to the prophet of God or the man of God, they took him out and they stoned him in the court of the house of the Lord. Well, we're not stoning preachers today, but how much ear do we give to the hearing of the word? How much ear do we give to the hearing of the word of God? How is God able to touch us if we will not listen to his word? How is God able to move on us? How is God able to stir us if we will not allow God to move and stir us in our hearts? You know, the limit that God has with us is the limit that we ourselves make. The limit that we allow ourselves to be convicted and touched by God's power is our own doing. See, you're a free moral agent to do as you want, to live as you want, to go as you go, and to come as you want to. God is not going to force you to be faithful. He's not going to force you to do those things that you ought to do. But he wants you to do them out of your free will. He didn't ever force himself upon anyone. But let me tell you, I see so many people that are not stirred up and not are excited about Jesus coming. I see so many people that cannot be touched by God's word. Sometimes people come to the church and they need a touch of God. They need God to move in their life. They're so depressed and they're so down and out. Their heart is failing them for the things of God. Yet they cannot be touched by the things of God because they will not let God touch them. Are you a touchable Christian? Are you a Christian that can be touched by the word of God? Can you be stirred up by God and his doings? You say, oh, Brother French, I'm really touchable. If you're a really touchable Christian by God, are you teachable? Are you a teachable Christian? There's so many Christians say, I'm touchable by God. God's able to move on it. But you can't teach them anything. You can't show them anything. Can God really touch you in your life? Are you pliable to the Spirit? Are you pliable to his will and what he wants for you? See, people say, oh, God's able to touch me. God's able to move on me. And yet there's some convictions they seem to never get. There's some convictions they never seem to have. Why? Because God is unable to touch them. They have a limit to what they allow God to do with them. And they say, this is the line. This is what I allow God to do for me and nothing more. They don't want to look at it like that, but that's exactly what happens. I've had family and friends that I've talked to, and I've tried to talk to them about living holiness and living in God's way, and they'll say, don't talk to me about it. I say, is it not in the Word? And they say, oh, it's in there, but I just don't see it. They won't allow God to touch them is what it is. Because they really, if they was close enough to God as they should be, then God would be able to touch them. The heart would be able to be convicted, and they would be stirred up about the things of God. Oh, Lord, help us. I'll quit here in a minute. But let me tell you, I see people that need to be touched by the things of God and touched through God. And I see people that will not allow God to move on them and will not allow God to stir them in their hearts. Why is it that there's no shouting in certain people? Why is it that the Spirit seems to move on the same ones all the time? You say, well, maybe it is for some of them to shout and for others not. God is willing to move on all. God is willing to touch all. God is willing to stir all. But the limit is on the people themselves, that they will not allow God to stir them in their hearts. God wanted to have fellowship with Adam, but Adam caused that fellowship to stop. Adam caused that fellowship to stop. He caused that walking in the garden to stop because he had sin in his life and he would not allow God to move him anymore.
Right.
If he'd have been listening to God like he would have, like he should have, and had obeyed, he would not have had that sin to cause God's divine favor to leave him in his life.
Right.
So we say we're teachable Christians, then we're touchable. But if we're not teachable, then we're not touchable.
All right.
I remember it was long ago. I remember my dad was talking to a man that had been preacher for a long time, and he was telling about how that it was a doctrinal point that nearly everyone agrees on that's in Pentecost or holiness. There's not a problem with it. But he said, Brother French, I've just been in it too long to change now. Why? He don't want to be changed. He don't want to be touched. He don't want to be moved. He don't want to be stirred. He don't want to have to lay down it and say, I went holiness. He don't want to have to lay down and say, I believe it like it says it in the Word. He don't want it to happen, so he don't let it happen. We say that we're able to be touched by God. How many things will we allow God to move in our lives in? We say that we will, but how many things do we get preached on? And it moves us, but that's all it does. You see? God wants to touch people in their lives. He wants to be able to mold them and make them. But a lot of times the Christian never gets molded and made into the person that God wants him to be on the simple fact that he has a restraint on himself on how much he will allow God to do in him. I know myself. I remember when the Lord called me into the ministry. I was crying and saying to the Lord all the time, Lord, I want to do your will. Lord, I want to do your will. Now, this is the way you did. Hear me? This is the way. Lord, I want to do your will, Lord. Can I be in your will? And I was praying all the time, and the Lord would say, go. And I'd say, oh, no. And then the Lord would say, Lord, do you want to do it? Let me do your will. And he'd say, go. And I'd say, not yet, Lord. Not yet. No, I wasn't allowing myself to be touched. But let me tell you, when the day comes that I allow myself to be touched by the Almighty God, I was sitting in church, and as a missionary came to church, and he said, he was talking about being in Mexico and evangelizing Mexico and couldn't even speak the language. And the Lord said, here is a man that has gone, and he can't speak it, and you can speak it and won't go.
Come on, Brother Martin.
Oh, let me tell you, I cried so in my heart. I cried openly. I said, oh, God, if you'll help me, dear Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it. Let me tell you, it's a great thing to give in to God. It's a great thing to be moved by the Spirit. And let me tell you, you're fighting against the grain if you'll not let God touch you. I tell you, church, I cannot be without the touch of God. I cannot be without the move of God. And the day you get without the move of God, you'll feel cold in your spirit. And the Word will be boring. You'll not be moved by the Spirit. Let me tell you, you need a touch of God. Oh, the Bible says it's powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, but a lot of Christians never get close enough to get cut with it.
Right. Come on.
I've had people in my own church say, oh, he don't have to preach that way. He don't have to talk like that. It just convicted them. That's all it was. It was convicting them. One fellow told me, he said, you can preach tithes till you blue, and I'm still not going to do it. It wasn't my problem. It was his problem.
Right.
He wasn't going to allow God to touch him. He wasn't going to allow God to stir him with it. He wasn't allowed God to move him in his heart. But let me tell you, God wants to move you in the simplest of things. He wants to stir you in the simplest of things. But if you don't have an open mind, let me tell you, you'll never understand the fullness of holiness. You'll never understand what God's grace is all about, because you can't be touched by his Word. You can't be moved by his Spirit.
Right.
Oh, God, help us tonight.
Listen to me, church. God wants to touch you, and he wants to move you in you. Can you be touched by him? Can you be touched by God? Oh, we say yes, 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 I can be touched. But I've been doing that a long time. I don't think it's wrong. Yeah, there it is. It's that spirit, I know it all.
Yeah.
It's that spirit that's unfearing of God. And let me tell you, it's a major thing in the Christian's life. A Christian has to remain fearful before God, because if you are fearful before God, you're touchable by him.
That's right.
If you're fearful before God, you're touchable by him. If you're non-fearing before God, you're not touchable by him anymore. And you will go out and lose your soul because you lose the fear of God. Is God able to touch you now? Maybe you thought you was touchable by God. Are you actually touchable and movable by his spirit and by his power? Lord, I think about the man with Saul. That beforehand he prophesied with the prophets and walked with the men of God. He'd done those things that was right in the sight of God. But it got to a place in time in his life that he became a know-it-all and thinking that he knowed just how to do it.
Yeah.
And he thought that to himself, I'll go down there and make the sacrifice just like the rest of those priests do. I can do it just like this. But that's not God's way. God has his way.
Right.
A lot of people believe that God's way is their way, just doing what they want to do and just add a little of him to it. But that's not what it's all about. It's doing it his way.
Yes, it is.
And I thought about how Saul, that there he was, had been with the men of God, had tasted the goodness of God, had felt the Spirit of God come upon him. And the Bible says there, if you'll read on over in Samuel, that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul.
Yes, it is.
He'd lost the touch.
He'd lost
that power of God in his life. He'd lost that motivation and moving of God in his life. And he knowed it.
Yes, he did.
And he knowed it. And so what happened to him? He began to search for God again. He wanted to be touched by his spirit.
Right.
He wanted to be moved by his power. And he was saying, oh, where is God? I need him. I need to touch him. I need him to move on him. See, God had talked to him before. God had dealt with him before. God had moved on him before. But he got to the place where God couldn't do nothing with Saul before. And so now, where was Saul? The Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul. And there was no longing, nothing there to touch him.
That's right.
And so there he was. Without God, without the power, without the move, without the spirit. And he felt lonely, he felt disheartened. I know why a lot of Christians feel lonely and disheartened. Because they've got away from God. They've got away from that touch. They've got away from that spirit and that feeling of the anointing, that feel of the touch of God. Oh, church, I can't be without the touch of God. I can't be without the move of God. Let me tell you, when you're there in Mexico doing what we're trying to do, trying to witness to those people, I think, oh, God, I could never do it without you. I could never do it without that touch. And I say, oh, Lord, sweep down and move on us now, God. I need your touch when the man's holding a gun. I need you to touch now. And the Spirit of the Lord come down, and it makes a man that's bold, make him a crybaby and say, I can't do it. I'll tell you what it is. It's the power of God. It's the move of the Spirit. Can you be touched by him? Can you be moved by him? Lord, think about it, church. Think about it. Oh, I think about Saul and how that he was now and lonely. Lonely, lonely. He had no spirit to dwell with him anymore. He was looking for God and he couldn't find God. God had tried to deal with him many times. The Bible says that God's spirit would not always strive with man. A lot of people think they can go on doing what they want to do, live what they want to live, and be as they are, and God will just will have to accept me that way.
No.
God has no tolerance for sin.
No, we don't.
God has no tolerance for sin. He will not put up with it.
No.
Despite how much we'd like to overlook it and think that he'll just let me make it in, it'll be all right. It won't happen that way. Are you greater than Moses? I think about Moses. The Lord told him to go out there and speak to that rock, and he went out there and started.
Yeah.
Huh?
What happened
to him? All right. That's it. You'll not go. Why? God has no tolerance for sin.
Right.
Disobedience is sin.
Right.
Huh? Disobedience is sin.
Yes, it is.
A lot of people don't like to think of it that way. Oh, I disobey here, I disobey there. I just disobey doing this because I had to, you know. Well, it's just, you know, they come up with a lot of excuses.
Yeah.
Really, the thing is that there's no fear. There's no fear there.
Right.
And because there's no fear, there's no touch. Let me tell you, a Christian has to be sensitive to God and His Word. Has to be sensitive to God and His Word and what He wants for our lives. I don't know how many times. And Brother Gerald didn't know this. But I remember times when I was young in my life. And young people, hear this just for a moment, if you would. I remember times in my life when I was younger that God had tried to deal with me in my life to make an opportunity for me to be the person God wanted me to be. But because I was not sensitive to God, sensitive to His Word and what He wanted, I would not allow myself to be touched in God's way. I wanted everything my way.
Right. Come on.
Brother Gerald didn't know it at this time, but Brother Gerald had come down to McAllen, Texas, when far it was, and he had been there, brought a bunch down from Virginia, from Richland. He'd come down there, and at the time he'd asked me, would I go and be an interpreter?
Yeah.
You see, God has plans, but you got to work into His plan.
That's right.
You got to fit into His plan. God has a way of dealing with people, and from the early to their stage in their life, if they're sensitive to Him and they're willing to be touched by Him.
That's right.
And I thought how many times that I had the opportunity to go as an interpreter because I had got away from Mexico. I had thought, I'll never go back. I hate that place. I never want to do it again. And all the time, God was being merciful with me. And He was trying to touch me. And I had opportunity. Brother Gerald gave me an opportunity to go with him. He was wanting to go. I had other people offer me to go. But I didn't do it. I had offered paid way to go Bible school after I was married, before we ever had any children, but I didn't do it. Now I know it's too late to cry over spilled milk, but I know one thing: I want to be sensitive to God from here on out.
All right.
I want God to be able to move on me. I want to feel the touch, and I want to feel His presence. I want to know that He's in control and not me. I want to know that He's there, and every time that I pray, I want to know and I want to feel that presence.
Yes.
It was not long ago, about a year and a half,
Whoa.
It was ago, that I was suffering through such a depression that I could hardly stand myself. It wasn't long after the man had tried to come and kill me. And I thought, oh God, if You don't help me, Lord, I ain't going to make it. I had such a fear that I was afraid to go out praying to get shot in the back. And I said, God, I need You to touch me one more time. And let me tell you, God never leaves us nor forsakes us. And let me tell you, I was in my house there where we rent. And I began to pace the floor in the middle of the night. And I said, oh, God, I need You to touch me. I need You to move on me once more time, God. And show me, Lord, I'm still in Your will. God, show me that I still got the touch of You, dear Lord. And in the middle of the night, about 4 o'clock in the morning it was, I felt that sweet arm of God come down, and He put it around me. And let me feel it one more time, that touch of God. Let me tell you, children, we can't do without it. We can't live without it. We can't walk without it, and we cannot do nothing of our own. Who are we of ourselves? But we are nothing. We are nothing, and we need a touch of God. Sometimes I feel like myself, like a man that's been by the pool 38 years. And I say to myself, oh, God, I can't put myself in. And I can't touch myself with the Spirit. And God, I can't move myself upon the Holy Ghost. But I know if You will touch me, I'll be whole. I know if You'll put me and touch me around the arm. I know if You'll just say the word, it'll happen, Jesus. Oh, church, can you be touched by God? Can you be moved by His Spirit? Are you sensitive to Him and what He wants in your life? Sometimes we say we're sensitive to God and we're about the stingiest people it comes to be. Hear me now. Sometimes the Lord just lays simple things on our hearts. It's God's way of moving in our lives. It's God's way of touching our lives. Sometimes He wants you to bless people. Sometimes He wants you to help people. Sometimes He wants you to be a comfort. And sometimes He just wants to use you being there.
That's right.
But yet, if you're not sensitive, you'll never know. And you're asking all the time, Lord, I want to do more for You. I want to help You, Lord. Help me, Lord, to help someone else. But You want to do it Your way.
Right.
What about doing it God's way? What about doing God's way? Can we actually be touched by His Spirit and moved by His power? Oh, Lord, we need to be touched by God. I thought about the verse that says in Matthew
except ye be as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. What is it about this verse that I noticed that it says, except you be as children? It makes a difference between the adult and the children.
Yes.
I think I figured it out. You can add yours to it too. Bible says, except you be as little children. What is it about children that is such a grave difference between them and the adult? For the most part, adults, as they get older, get harder headed. Less sensitive. Less humble. They will not allow themselves to be moved by God. Why is it they seem as though they can't be reached? That's why. They become self-sufficient. Self-efficient. And sometimes we think because we've been in the way a long time, I've got it figured out. I go to church on Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday, and I do it like this and this and this, and that's just all that matters. No, that ain't all that matters. We don't watch it, we become mechanical Christians.
Right.
Doing the things as we want them to do. I see those people in Mexico and I say, oh Lord, how can these people go on and make sacrifice of themselves and crawl on their knees the full length of a block and make themselves a bloody mess? How can they do this? Carrying idols down the street and just go on and cry and cry and act like it's such a great thing. They're mechanical. They've seen it done. They know how it's happened. But it's not a touch of God. It's not a touch of God. It's not the move of the Spirit. The Bible says, except you be as little children. What's the children like? For the most part, children are teachable. Children are humble. They're easily moved by God. And they're sensitive to what others. Think about it for a moment. Except you be as little children. Except you be as little children. What is it, children? Children are all caring upon their father. Oh, and this is something that really destroys faith, and I'm not going to preach on faith, but this is something that destroys it. That God is not able to move in a lot of people in the way he could because there's not that childlike faith there. For the most part, children say, Dad's going to clothe me, Dad's going to feed me, he's going to give me a place to sleep, and I ain't got nothing to worry about. But as a person gets older, I've got to find a place to sleep. I've got to find something to eat, and I've got to worry about everything that goes on. That's why there's not that touch. You can tell the child, say, you can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He can come back from that youth camp, and maybe he didn't get it while he was there, but he knows because his pastor said you can get it, he thinks he can get it. And he takes it for granted because that's what he said. He takes it as the word. He takes it as the understanding, and he gets down and he prays for it and he gets it. It's that simple mind that allows God to move in his life. Brother Green, I have a lady in my church I feel like that every pastor would like to have a couple thousand of. And I love working with people that's recently gotten saved. Because she says to me, this lady that's in our church, she has a little girl that's crippled. She says to me, she says, Brother Frank, she says, I'll do anything you tell me. She says, anything you see me doing that I ought not do, you let me know. And I'll stop doing it. Well, I have several thousand. Huh? A spirit teachable. Humble, they're saying, anything is wrong. I went to her house. She was with her house, and I preached on her preached in church about not cutting the hair, you know. And here she was sitting over there, and she was, she'd been like had a little small beautician thing going there. She was taking care of women's hair and stuff like that. And she'd come in there, and she was sitting, doing it, and I had told her she'd quit cutting hers, but she was cutting these old ladies' hair. I didn't say nothing. But I just sit there talking to her husband, and a little bit, she said, I feel that you feel that I'm doing wrong. A lot of people wouldn't admit nothing like that. A lot of people wouldn't say, I felt like it might have been wrong. Huh? They wouldn't dare admit. That's humbling themselves before somebody else. A lot of times the word comes over the pulpit, and I think sometimes how much power there's in that word. And that some people it seems to stir, and other people it don't seem to move. Amen? What do we do with what we hear? How do we act upon what we hear of the Word of God? Are we taking it as that as the Word of man, or are we taking it as the Word of God? God told Jeremiah to speak. It was the voice of God through the instrument of man, trying to tell him that he wanted to be with them, that he wanted to touch them, that he wanted to move in their lives. He wanted to be a special God to a special people. But only when they allowed him, only when he allowed him, was he able to do something with them. You take every man of God that God has ever made anything out of, has to be a man that's touchable by God. He has to be able to be moved by the Spirit. And God has to be able to touch him in his life. Amen? Praise God. I hope your heart's been challenged tonight. I hope your heart's been challenged. I see so many people that are not moved by the Spirit. Not moved by the Spirit of God. They get bored of church. Bored of church. So then they get cold. And then they lose the fear. And then they don't come anymore. We need the touch of God. We need a move of that Spirit. Oh, I tell you, I can see God in my life. You need to see God in your life. You need to see Him guiding those things. Let me tell you, it's not coincidence. When you're a Christian and you're a hold of God, it's not a coincidence. It's God's guidance. Huh? If you're listening and sensitive to Him, it's God's guidance to a better life. It's God's guidance for the will to your life. People say, I want to know the will of God. It's in the touch of God. His will and understanding for us in our life.